As some of you may recall, I'm a native Carroll Countyan. There aren't as many of us in terms of percentage of the population. Many, many people have moved in over the years, but every time I come back up to St. Bartholomew's, I can't help but go into a few moments of nostalgia. You know, I remember the area where I went to school. You know, the high school I went to, of course, no longer exists, but we're not going to get into that debate right now. But one thing that does is, maybe I was a bit of a late bloomer in terms of my journey to the Catholic faith, but it was St. Bartholomew that I found as my home. Some of you may remember the one that I really refer to as the saintly Father Jack Kilmartin. Father Kilmartin instructed me and received me into the church. He was also the day that I eventually was ordained to the priesthood, vested me, and also preached my Mass of Thanksgiving here at St. Bart's, albeit in the historic little church. I celebrated many other things along the way. Father Roach, the last 25 years here that he spent in this parish, I guess it's about half of your priesthood, is it? Or over half, maybe, by now. I'm sure he can recount many, many memories as he nears his retirement, but we do know what happens when priests retire. Retire doesn't mean that you stop. It means that you get four new tires. We remember. A lot of times, though, when we talk about memory, it's nostalgic. We recall things that maybe warm our hearts. We sometimes might even recall things that are disturbing. Even today, each year around 9/11, you'll see signs with images of the towers in New York with the slogan saying, "Never forget." Now, it's not that we're saying never forget the tragedy, or that we're only remembering the tragedy, but at the same time, we remember the heroism of those first responders. My friends, when we look at our personal or communal national histories, those are times where we look back and we can really buy into the old adage of always remember where you came from. No matter where we go in life or what we do or what our accomplishments or achievements are, we're always beckoned by our elders to remember where we came from, to not get too big for our pants, to not have swollen heads. The church gives us an annual celebration, really daily, because we celebrate the Eucharist almost every single day throughout the year, to remember where we've come from, to remember how we got to where we are today. And Jesus beckoned his disciples to remember. Now let's remember that this is not just a nostalgic walk in the park. As an observant Jew and a cultural one, when Jesus said to remember, it was in the sense of not just recalling. To remember meant to make present that event. For the observant Jews, Passover is remembering, making present that act of liberation. For us in the Eucharist, we remember the Lord's love for us, not just 2,000 years ago, when he suffered, died, and rose. It's made present in the very prayer, in the very gathering of God's people, in the very elements of bread and wine that become his very body and blood. We're hungry people. We thirst for an encounter with the divine. And we always find it when we break the bread of the Eucharist, when we hear the word of God proclaimed. On this holy night, we remember three things that Jesus did. He instituted the Holy Eucharist. He instituted the priesthood. And he gave a call to service. So just real quick, what happened there? Let's remember that it all began in the most simple of environments. When Jesus broke the bread and claimed it as his body, when he raised the cup and pronounced it his blood, he took two of the most simple staples of human existence. Something his people would have used on a daily basis to be the very way that his presence would be perpetuated. When he instituted the priesthood, he didn't go for the best and the brightest. He didn't demand the holiest. He didn't even expect them to be up for the task, at least not at the beginning. Who did he choose? At this first ordination, and using the term loosely, but as he instituted the priesthood, he chose those who would deny, those who would doubt, those whose anger would well up and get the best of them. And even after his resurrection, they fought among themselves. 2,000 years later, he still chooses the same ones, doesn't he? Sometimes by the grace of ordination, always by the grace of baptism. Not the perfect. Because if he chose the perfect, where none exist anyway, why would we need God? Rather, he chooses instruments who can be perfected. That it doesn't depend on our own worthiness or our own accomplishments or achievements, our high intellect. That he, just as he uses simple bread or simple wine, that he can allow his grace to continue to flow in his church through the men in ordained ministry. Husbands and wives, do the same in allowing that grace to be perpetuated in their holy marriages. In some sense, God laughs at our attempts for perfection, or even our expectations of it. It's not because we're perfect that God can work through us. It's despite our imperfections that the Lord chooses to do so. But here's the irony. He didn't call us just to gather tonight or any other time for just a nostalgic witness, a sharing of the story. In some sense, and it seems really odd, but after he institutes the Eucharist, in many ways he tells them, even this isn't enough. And the teacher gets down on his hands and knees and washes the feet of the disciples. He calls us to service. It's not that he just gives himself to us in his presence in the Holy Eucharist so that we can enjoy personal edification and warm, fuzzy feelings. Hopefully we do have deep, deep consolation. But he also calls us to do something. To see those around us and be servants one to another. Because he told us to remember to do these things in memory of him. But he also told them, and he reminds us, to do as he did. So when feet are washed this evening, it's not just a theatrical performance. It should be a challenge to all of us, friends, that we're not just called to be hearers of the word, but doers. That we're not just called to receive Christ into our lives, into our hearts, indeed into our bodies, but to share him and see him in the lives and the bodies of those around us. We rejoice on this holy night because he doesn't demand perfection, only a willingness to be perfected. So as we journey with him through these 3 days, as a church, as a people, let's commit ourselves to, number one, not just letting our faith be something we recall as something that was strong and vibrant years and generations ago, but something that is strong and vibrant today simply because we make the intentional decision to see and to be the presence of Christ to and for one another. Amen.